This chapter is marvelous. One of the more powerful chapters in all of God's Word. Read verses 22. And I intended to deal with Christ the bread, but there's much to be seen in a few verses at the end of these verses here. Let's read verses 22 through 29. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no one with a boat there save the one whereunto his disciples were entered. And they saw that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, that his disciples were gone away alone without him. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And the Lord answered, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Well, then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered, said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And we need to deal with these verses on the sealed one. He said here something, Him hath the Father sealed. And then he said, This is the work of God. This is the one that you may believe on him, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. All right, these people saw the disciples get in a ship without the Lord and go across. They knew he wasn't with them. And they took ships and came across, and there he was. And they asked him, How did you get here? Our Lord did not tell them, did he? He did not say. He could have said, he could have told the truth. He could have said, I walked here across the ocean. I walked on the water. The Lord never made much over his miracle. The Lord didn't seek to prove himself by touting his miracles. Do you see what I've done? He didn't do that. His miracles, the signs, the wonders prove him. Yet, the thing that proved him more than anything else was what he said. His words. What he said is salvation. The miracles and all were pictures and types and illustrations of salvation. But everyone he healed died of something. Everyone he fed got hungry again. But these things were illustrations of the great work that he came to do. What he said, he's going to talk a great deal about bread, isn't he? And he said to these people, you follow me. Some followed him because of the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And our Lord said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But his people seek a word from him. He said, you follow me to some, you follow me because you got your bellies filled. And remember Paul said, I say weeping that most people, their God is their belly. That most people, our Lord is saying, most people seek the blessings and not the blesser. That's not worshiping God. That's not thanking God. That's not rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just wanting the benefits and not the benefactor. It's like a woman who pretends to be married and all she wants out of the man is what he provides her. Here's the difference between God's true people and those that merely profess to be. God's true people desire Him. While most people the world over want what He gives them. This is what He's saying here. And this separates the true from the false. This separates the saints from hypocrites. Saints seek the Lord. They seek the blesser, not just the blessing. And they know that good things, while they are a blessing, so are evil things. The world doesn't think that way. God's people do. And so when the miracles stop, so do the followers. When the bread dries up, so do the followers, the believer. But not God's people. After this whole thing is over, in John 6, many walk no more with Him. And our Lord turned to His disciples, hand-chosen by Him, called by Him, born again by His Word. He turned to His disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" They said, "No." "To whom shall we?" "To whom?" Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. To whom shall we go?" And here's what they said. And here's the testimony of all of God's true people. "Thou hast the words of life." Yes, you're feeding us. Yes, you're protecting us. Yes, you're doing all this for us, providing for us. But what we hang on, what we live on, is what you tell us, what you say to us. Your words are life. And this is what's going to keep God's people. This is what keeps God's people. They have to have the gospel. They have to have His word. They have to have it. Let the whole world dry up, but they've got to have the gospel. Lose everything. Just don't take the ark. And look at verse 27. The Lord said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Go to Isaiah 55 with him. Do you remember the disciples coming to our Lord earlier and saying to Him, they saw that He hadn't eaten in days. Our Lord was not, He had no lust of the flesh. He had no lusts, period. He didn't live for things. He lived on God. And they said, "Master, eat." He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." He said, "My meat is to do the will of the Father and finish the work He sent me to do." Oh, may that be our meat. It is God's people's meat. It is. It is. That is their heart's desire. And our Lord said here in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." And you know our Lord in His Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." What's that? Christ. The Lord, our righteousness. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." The Lord began in this Gospel of John by meeting a woman at a well. And he said, "These waters are going to leave you thirsty." He brought her to the waters, didn't he? "He that hath no money," this is water you can't buy. This is bread you can't buy. "Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price." And then he asks, "Wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently." That means listen, hear, and eat. Hear and eat. that which is good, really good, let your soul, this is what your soul needs to eat. What I have to say, my word, spirit, it's life. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Remember in Psalm 107, I believe it is, the Lord, the people lusted exceedingly. I got to have this, I got to have that, I need this, I need that. So he gave them their desire, but sent leanness to their soul. They had everything that money could buy, all the fleshly things in this world, but they had no peace, no joy. No real life. And they're looking for it in all the wrong places, in things. And they don't satisfy. Verse 3, Isaiah 55. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Oh my. Hear, and your soul shall live. This is what we live on. This is what we live on. Right here, what we're doing right now. This is what we live on. And all of us by nature, go back to John 6. All of us by nature work for and labor after material things, seeking fulfillment in them. Our Lord had the preacher, Solomon, the preacher write a whole book of Ecclesiastes. That means the preacher, with a capital P, meaning what he has to say is more important than anything you'll hear. And the preacher throughout Ecclesiastes, he began it and ended by saying, vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity. All flesh is vanity. Meaning, it won't satisfy. It won't fulfill. It won't give you what you look for. It won't satisfy the deceitfulness of riches. Deceives you. If I can have this, I'll be happy. No, you just want more. And then when you lose that which gave you happiness, you're sadder than you were before you had it. He wrote this whole book of Ecclesiastes about it, how he experimented with everything. And he said, there's nothing. There's nothing in this earth that will fulfill or give lasting happiness and joy. But now, and so our Lord says, labor for that. Provide for yourself bags that wax not old, treasures in heaven that nobody can take from you. Now, lest a young person in here be discouraged, He wrote Ecclesiastes not to discourage us, not to keep us from enjoying things. The Lord hath given us all things richly to enjoy. In fact, he says that there's nothing better for you to do in this life, as far as these things are, than to marry and have children and have a home and enjoy. Enjoy. It's not evil. It's not sin that God gave them. Do you not delight to give your children things to enjoy? But now if they consume them, then they become lust, and lust is idolatry. It'll make you forget God, make you never think about God. And he said in Ecclesiastes, in the very last, he said, remember, enjoy these things, but always think about who gave them to you. Fear of God. Let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, and you need not fear anything else. And then when you know who gave it to you, when he takes it from you, you bless the Lord. And you know he did it for your good. So it's not to discourage us, but to enlighten us, to enlighten our darkness, our understanding. Enlighten our understanding that we might understand. Things that are seen are temporal. Things that are not seen are eternal. So set your affection on things above. Our Lord said, labor not for this meat. It goes in and it goes out just as quickly as it came. No matter what it is. But now this meat. And he's going to go on to say a great deal about bread and meat in a little bit. But look at verse 27. So he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but For that meat, which is Christ himself, he said, my flesh is meat indeed. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. And we'll learn, I hope we'll learn what that means. But he said, him hath God the Father sealed. Now that really stuck out to me. That really struck me. And I thought, I dare not go past this quickly. I need to deal with it. Him hath God the Father sealed. What's that got to do with what he just said? He has sealed him. Turn to Isaiah 29 with me. Isaiah 29. We turn to Isaiah often, don't we? We quote Isaiah often. Well, that's by design. Isaiah is quoted more than any other prophet in the New Testament. Our Lord quoted Isaiah. The disciples did. But Isaiah 29. Now, the word sealed means several things. All right? The word sealed means several things. And this title subject is the sealed one. The sealed one. Christ said, him, me, hath God the Father sealed. The word sealed, to seal something means this. You put your stamp upon it, your private seal or signet, your private seal attesting to this thing or this one, that this is mine, this is legal, this is it. All right, the seal. Then seal means to seal up as to preserve, to secure, to seal it up, to shut it up, to close it up. All right? Seal also means to hide from view. To hide from view. All right, look at Isaiah 29. Christ is the sealed one who has been kept hidden before the foundation of the world. He's called the Word, isn't he? Look at Isaiah 29, verse 10. The Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. You remember Isaiah 6. We looked at that some time ago, where he told Isaiah to go and tell the people, you hear indeed, but you don't understand. You see, but don't perceive. He said, make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And he said, Lord, how long? He said, until the end. But he said, there'll be a remnant. There's going to be a remnant, the Lord said. I'm going to open their eyes. I'm going to open the seals. Isaiah 29, our Lord is called the book, the word. And the Lord, verse 10, poured a deep sleep, closed the eyes of the prophets and the rulers and the seers hath he covered. It's the same today. In the reading of the book, verse 11, the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, it is sealed. Our Lord was walking along, and our Lord spoke in parables. Our Lord spoke very plainly. He said, there's nothing reed or perverse or in me. But the learned, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't understand what he was saying. And yet the little ones, the common people, heard him gladly. And he says he stopped one day and pray to the Father. I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Christ must be revealed to you. No man knows the Father but the Son, neither knoweth any man the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Father will reveal him, and the Son reveal him. And the Holy Spirit revealed him. He turned to his disciples one day and said, do you know who I am? No, you yes, Lord, thou art the Christ. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father did. Look at verse verse 13. The Lord, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and their lips do honor me, like that multitude in John 6, but they have removed their heart far from me. They weren't seeking him as sinners in need of mercy and sinners in need of salvation, but in need of blessings. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of me, and that's no fear at all. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. The wisdom of their wise shall perish. That's what I just quoted. The understanding of their prudence shall be hid, sealed. But, verse 18, in that day, the day of salvation, the death shall hear the words of the book. I'm going to open deaf ear. The eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity. Verse 19, the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in what? Him. 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 That's how you know. That's how you know that he hath opened the seals thereof for you to look. That he hath revealed him to you, and still kept hidden from both. Seal means a stamp or a mark to attest your approval or ownership of. Him hath the Father sealed. When Peter stood at Pentecost to preach that great message, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, a man approved of God." God hath set his seal on him. A man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders. Then Paul wrote in Romans 1, that glorious definition of the gospel. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and following. And this is the gospel. Brother Walter Gruber came here years ago, and I'll never forget, he preached from Romans 1, 1 through 3. All separated unto God, the gospel of God. And Walter said, if you can't preach from this, you can't preach. He said, if you don't know this, you don't know the gospel. But this is the gospel. It's the gospel of God concerning God's Son. And he went on to say in verse 3, the gospel of God concerning his Son, declared to be the Son of God with power. Hidden to most. Oh, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power there. They say things about Jesus, but he doesn't have all power. God's people know he does. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. A virgin born. Why must Christ be born of a virgin? That he might be without the sin of Adam, the seed of Adam, right? We know that. You know, most people don't believe that now. Most people don't care. Most people don't think you need to. Our salvation depends on it. Spirit of holiness. This is the Holy One of God. This is the Holy One of Israel. This is the sinless Son of God. Our representative, our covenant head, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You know, there are a lot of so-called evangelists that don't really believe he rose from the dead. It's all sealed. But God has put his stamp of approval on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hidden from view and attested to by God and revealed to his people. Seal, you know, man puts his seal on things, but God just, whatever man highly esteems, God hates it. Scripture is an abomination to God. I love the story of Pilate when they took his body down, the Lord's body down from the cross, and they put it in a tomb, and the soldiers, somebody said, the Pharisees said, he said he would rise again. Now, we got to do something to keep this from spreading. And so Pilate said, well, put a stone on that and I'll seal it. I'll put my seal on it. And make it as fast as you can. Get your strongest men now. Let's seal this thing up that it never be, never come out. Him hath God the Father sealed. Man's seals mean nothing. Sealed means security. Sealed means salvation. Sealed means preservation. He's the sealed one. He's attested to by God that He is our salvation, that He is our security. We're kept by the power of God. What's that? Christ. He said, those whom Thou hast given me, I have kept. He's the keeper. He that keepeth Israel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're kept. You're sealed. You know, you're sealed. If you're in Him, you're sealed. Revelation, oh, I'm running out of time. But you'll like this. Revelation 7. This chapter mentions seals. I forgot how many times. I didn't write them all down. 15, 16 times in 8 verses. Seals. Revelation 7. Look at it. Verse 1 and 2. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea. That is, don't destroy this all until we have sealed the servants. We have sealed the servants in their foreheads. What's that? Ephesians 1 over there. And he went on to talk about he sealed every tribe. 12,000 out of every tribe, he sealed them. Are you wearing the seal? Are you sealed? Huh? What's the seal in their forehead? Idiots today. Idiots think that they're, you know, we're going to see the Antichrist because he's got 3 stitches on his head. That'd be real obvious. Who'd fall for that? Or some visible sign. The Pharisees wore their phylacteries, and people today have to wear their, you know, look at me, this is me. That doesn't prove a thing. Besides, that's an image, a graven image. It proves you don't really understand. The seal, Ephesians 1, I've got to turn there myself. The seal is Christ Himself. It's the gospel imprinted in your mind. And on your heart, you believe it with all your heart. And Ephesians 1, is there a clearer gospel message than Ephesians 1? Huh? Oh, grace unto you, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Keeps going saying, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Kept by Him, in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him. That is their seal, they're found in Him. All right, now look at verse 9. He's made known unto us, these elect, these people of God, these sealed ones, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Christ is all, both which are in heaven, on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. They know whose will it is. That we should be, what's this all about? That we should be received to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, how that He did it, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Earnest, the Holy Spirit of God. This is the seal. The gospel is the seal. An understanding of who Christ is. He's opened the seals of the book where we could look and see. You know, it's all about Him, isn't it? Salvation's Him, isn't it? You open any book,
He's opened our understanding, hasn't he? We go to Genesis, we open the book. There he is. Exodus, there he is. Leviticus. The people of the world, the learned, the professors, they don't see it. I don't see it. It must not be in him. He's not one of the sealed ones. He opened the mind of God's people. And what they're thinking of is Christ. He opened the hearts of God's people. Who they believe, who they trust, who they love, their desires, Christ.
It's not a seal you can see on their head. They don't wear it like something that they want you to see, but it's there. God sees it, the seal. And the Holy Spirit, who's unseen, he seals them with this understanding that they're in him. We know the Son of God has come, John said, and has given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. And we're in him that is true. This is eternal life, and this is the true God. And then our Lord says, in closing in this book, John 6, the people said, they heard him say, labor not. So they said, well, what can we do? What should we do? You back there, John 6? They heard him talk about labor, labor not. Well, they said, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered, our Lord said unto them, this is the work of God. How many people understand that? You understand this, don't you? I understand this pretty much. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. This is the work of God. He said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, now this is the work of God. Faith, he's talking about faith, is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Ephesians 1:19, it says, we believe according to the working of his mighty power. It takes the power of God to work in someone both the will and do of his good pleasure. It takes the power of God to make somebody repent and believe and look to Christ. You've got to be born again. This is the work of God. And everyone that believes, like the disciples of old, they know they believe not because they decided to. Nobody offered Christ to them. Christ came and laid hold of them, like Jacob. And Christ came and revealed himself to them. This is the work of God. You're not going to get to heaven by working yourself there. And faith's not a work. It's not your work. You don't get there because you believe. You believe because Christ came to you. Because the Spirit of God was sent to you to apprehend you and give you this faith. It's a work of God. It's a miracle. It's a gift. And then he says, this is the work of God that God accepts. This is the work which God accepts. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to his mercy that he saved us. This is the work of God that he accepts. Believe. Believe on the Son. You cannot work. You cannot work by the deeds of the law. No flesh will be justified. Who understands this? I mean, who really understands this? Few. But the few that are sealed know this beyond. They know this with all their heart. And they say, I was going to have you turn to Psalm 92. David said, thou hast made me glad through thy work. He said in another place, thou hast ordained all our works for us. It is God which worketh in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Salvation's of the Lord. Sealed. This is the work of God. The whole world laboring for this, they don't know it. Laboring for that, finding nothing. God, people quit laboring.
They've come to Christ. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. And they're resting in Christ. And they're believing and trusting Christ. And there's millions of people all over the world in religion trying to work their way to heaven. Sincere. And our heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they might be saved. But it's God's prerogative. It's God's will. It's God's choice. And I just thank God that you know this. That you believe. And you know in your head and in your heart that Christ is all. You've been sealed. You've been sealed. Okay.